podcast with Dan Carey. I am Scott May. We don't have Dan Carey in our little studio over here at Riverside today, and he is off being a busy brewmaster, as he is wont to do. But we have a very special guest and someone I'm very interested in talking to. We have Hans Lenslinger, who is a resident here in New Glarus, owned the New Glarus Hotel for a very, very long time.
Yes.
How long was that?
40 years.
40 years. Yep. Mm-hmm. And if you can't tell, it will become apparent. Hans, New Glarus is America's little Switzerland.
Yes.
You are actually from the world's big Switzerland.
Old Switzerland.
Old Switzerland. Yeah, old Glarus. Oh, yeah. Or as they call it, just Glarus.
Glarus.
Just Glarus. Yeah. Where were you originally born in Switzerland?
I was born in the northeastern part in a small town called Unterwasser. Mm-hmm. It's close to Austria and close to the north is Germany.
Okay.
So my parents had a little hotel there, and my dad passed away when I was 13 years old.
Oh, okay.
And my mother ran it then for the rest of the time, and I was the oldest.
The oldest child?
Yep. And, over there, the oldest is supposed to take over the restaurant or the business.
Oh, yeah, whatever the family has going on. You seem to be pretty far afield from taking over a business in Switzerland right now.
Now, I was just too young to take over from my mother. She was probably in her 50s. And so I came, I was... I made the apprenticeship as a chef, a cook.
Yeah.
And then I was done with the apprenticeship at 17 and a half.
Yeah.
And then I went to different jobs in the summer resorts, winter resorts. I worked in England for a while, a summer. And then I was also a ski instructor in Switzerland, in my hometown.
Yeah.
And I met some people, a German couple from Chicago. They came every year.
Yeah.
For years. Dieter and Rita. So I was skiing with them for every year, for 2 weeks, for 3-4 years in a row. And then one time they invited me to come to Chicago.
It's a great place to first experience America. I grew up about 40 miles outside of Chicago. And, when you first see that city, it's a big city, but the downtown's small enough to where you can kind of get a feel for it.
Yeah. But can you imagine that 20-year-old young guy in Switzerland from the mountains to Chicago? And so I came home to told mother, and I told her, Dieter and Rita invited me to come to Chicago.
Yeah.
She said, you have to go. You have to learn languages and the new culture and everything. So she encouraged me to go.
Mm-hmm.
That was I came to Chicago in May of 69.
May of 69. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. And then I walked, they got me a job in a small German restaurant on Lincoln Avenue. I just love that place. I still have got friends from that time, mm-hmm. And I worked there for, about 8 months. And then I met people from New Glarus in that place, in that small restaurant.
And it probably triggered a bell in your head right away.
Now I had people that friends worked at Swiss Air.
Oh, yeah, the Swiss Air Motel?
No, Swiss Air Airlines in Chicago.
Oh, Swiss Air, yeah,
they
gotcha.
At Swiss Air in Chicago. And they said Carl and Helen was visiting Olio Mike. And Mike said, we have a young Swiss guy on Lincoln Avenue in a restaurant. We have to go and see them. Should go have dinner there. So they came, and Carl Hoffman, you don't know, that's years ago. That's in 1970, you know.
Yeah.
Carl thought I'd come with him that night of Duna Glarus. Carl, I'm a guest here. Yeah. The people are really good to me, and I'd love to come to New Glarus, because I heard a lot about New Glarus from mm-hmm. in school, from emigration. And then I remember very clearly, we had on the radio, they had a story of why people left the old country and settled here. So I listened intensely every Monday night at 7:30. There's an hour show, a program. And so when I had a chance to come to Noglaris, I came in November in 69. I remember very clearly. So Carl and Helen were not there.
Okay.
And I knocked on the door, and the door was locked, and the store across the street was now Roy's.
Oh, yeah.
Roy was there, and he saw me, and I said, looking for something? I said, yeah, Carl and Helen. Oh, they're not. Carl is up north hunting, and Helen is up somewhere with the daughter.
It's like, that's a very Wisconsin thing. Like, yeah, I came to find that they went north to hunt.
Yeah, in November.
Yeah.
So I contacted Carl, and I said, oh, I apologize. Come next week, next Monday. What is it? Monday, I think it's Monday. And I said, okay, next Monday I come. So then my friend Peter came over, took the job I came at.
In Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And he came that week. Maybe it was a couple of weeks later, yeah. But the two of us went to Noglaris.
Wow. And so you were, at this time, you had just come from Switzerland, and you're a cook. You're just cook in the kitchen in Chicago. And I cooked for many years. It's still one of my fondest jobs I've ever had. It was about 10 years spent in kitchens. And this was like, late 90s through to about 2010 when I was a cook. What was kitchen work like in the late 60s and in the 70s?
Well, it was not much different than
now. Not much
now.
Different,
no.
Yeah.
Stressful, hot. But I enjoyed it. I always enjoyed it. And so then a little later, 2 weeks later, Peter and me came to Noglaris, and Carl treated us just royally.
Okay.
I mean, everything. Took us for dinner, and we stayed in his A-frame up north of town.
Mm-hmm.
And I left, and the following week I went back to Switzerland. And Peter stayed here. And so I made arrangements with Carl. I said, okay, next May I will be coming to work for you.
Yeah.
So I went back to Switzerland. Worked for my mother at night in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and worked in the ski school during the day. That worked out great. And then after Easter, a couple of weeks after Easter, I came to Chicago. And Carl and Helen picked me up and took me. And that's when my time in Noglaris started in 70.
Yeah, and it's funny that you are also a ski instructor. I only have one sort of experience in the Alps, and it was in Austria, just over the border from Aviano, Italy. So that sort of range of the Austrian Alps. And I was visiting a buddy over there who was a lawyer in the Air Force, and he goes, "Oh, have you ever skied?" And I go, "Oh yeah, back when I was a teenager, I used to ski." In junior high or whatever. He goes, okay, we're gonna go skiing in the Alps. I go, that sounds silly. He's like, no, you'll be fine. It'll be fun. So we go rent my skis, and he gets us in a ski lift. And about halfway up, he goes, just so you know, this one goes to the top. So there's only gonna be one way down. And that's when I learned how serious people in that region take their skiing, and how serious the skiing actually is in that area. Were you one of those people who could go sort of just bombing down the mountain in your day, or how did you find skiing to be?
It's not for me. It's that the good turns and the correct skiing, and that's what it is. It's not as fast. Not as fast as it can get down the hill.
Yeah,
but we would do it also. You know, I remember one time I was in Aspen with a buddy of mine, and so he said, "We went top, very the top." He was a good skier, an Austrian guy, and I said, well, okay, let's race down the hill. And I knew he was a good skier, and he was better than me.
Yeah.
And we skied straight down. Still, I'm scared to think about it. Anyway, that's. And then I came, worked for Carl and Helen for 2 years, and then they changed owners. Then I worked for the new people.
Yeah.
And I had trouble there with the new, the young guy.
This wasn't a good fit. Or,
no, yeah. That was not a good fit.
Not a good fit.
So one day I got fired.
Oh, geez.
Can you believe it? I'm all over here and got fired. But then luckily I had good friends with Carl and Helen. And they had good friends in the restaurant business, and mm-hmm. they would happen to look for a cook, a chef.
Oh, yeah.
In Janesville.
Oh, yeah. Cooks always find work.
Yeah.
You know, everyone always needs to eat. That's the great thing about cooks. You can get fired from like 15 jobs as a cook. Yeah. You're still going to find another one because someone didn't show up that day. Yeah. Someone got too drunk the night before or sleeping off. Your cook will always find work.
Yeah. So I went to work for Rex and Betty in Janesville. And then I worked there for a year. And then Carl and Helen opened another restaurant in Middleton.
Okay.
At Chalet Saint Moritz. So I helped them open that place up, worked there for 2 years. And then I was, should I stay? Should I go back?
Yeah.
Do I have an
kind
obligation?
Kind of that fork in the road of like, right, I've been here a while, but home is still home.
Exactly.
And if I got to make a decision. Yep. Am I going to stay in America or am I going home?
And then at that time, I had a girlfriend, Vicky, and she came with me to Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked there for the winter, 74, 75. And then in spring, late spring, a friend of Vicky's parents, Jim Kelcher, he called and said, "Hey, Hans, I have a place over here that you could take over."
Oh, back here?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, they were best of friends, Jim and Joyce and Chubba Mike.
Yeah.
And Ricky went right back right away, and I said, I have to help mother over Easter and then come up.
Yeah.
And then I came, and that place, that's no good. There was, the guy had, knew I had a bag, the guy that bags me up with money, and I didn't want that.
No.
If I cannot do it myself, then I want it.
No.
So we came to Nuclearis in May, early May, late April, early May, we came to Nuclearis. Those days, you would eat dinner at the Wilhelm Tell, mm-hmm. Flannery's.
Oh, yeah.
And come for entertainment to Nuclearis Hotel.
Oh, very cool. Because they would have like
the polka band.
The polka bands or some yodelers.
Yes.
And, yeah.
So Roby was there and he saw me. I became, I knew Roby very well. And he said, what are you going to do? What are you doing? I said, I don't know, I'm looking for a place. We're working a couple places in Madison. And he said to me, why don't you come and talk to me? That was Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, I'd love to. Then on Sunday, Sunday I came up, went up to Obi.
Yeah.
And talked to him. And May 20th, we took over the Nuclearis Hotel.
Wow. So you come over just a few years earlier.
Yes.
Cooking through Chicago, Nuclearis, Janesville, Madison. And next thing you know, you find yourself taking over
exactly,
a hotel.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So you left the hotel business in Switzerland and ended up in the hotel business in Nuclearis.
Mother, of course, wasn't too happy in the beginning.
Oh,
I understood that. And but then everything worked out just fine.
Yeah.
I had a very good friend of mine. He bought the hotel in Switzerland, Hotel Alpina.
Mm-hmm.
He bought it for his daughter and son-in-law.
Oh, very cool.
It worked out great. And he gave my mother, he had a fair amount of cash.
Yeah, gave a good price.
Gave her a good price, cash and everything. So she had a wonderful 10 years retirement.
That's sort of a beautiful story how you could kind of make the best of both worlds, right?
Right.
You could make it all work out back home for the family and you could make a new way for yourself here. And you know, you ran the New Glarus Hotel very successfully for a lot of years. And, you know, I was talking with my wife, Kate, who you probably remember Kate. And she was like, oh, yeah, Hans is a very interesting guy. There used to be the joke, like he built himself up and he sort of became like one of the pillars of New Glarus. And she went to school with your kid, daughter, and always had very, very fond memories. And when I was talking, when I was talking with Deb, and she had been like, you should talk to Hans. And you could just tell she had so much respect for you. And she was telling me how you were one of the first people who believed in this brewery. You were one of the sort of initial investors. So, you know, how did that come? And when you first met Deb and she's like telling you her plan, what were you thinking at that point?
I remember exactly what happened. So I was president of the chamber president at that time. So I just come out of the post office and walked up to the hotel, and there's this young couple, and they'll tell me the story about they wanted to build the brewery.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, that would be great. See, at those days, I imported beer.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Liquor, Frank Beer.
Yeah, the Frank's Distributing,
Sid Frank. Mm-hmm. He was a good friend of mine. He's a good, was a big supporter of mine.
Yeah.
The New Glarus Hotel. And me, and always a good customer. And Sid encouraged me to buy stock.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So, yeah.
And anyway, we talked about, I got off track a little bit. We talked about, I had a good friend of mine had under partner at the Landhaus, Rudy Owner.
Yeah.
Rudy had this very building that we are in now.
Oh, yeah.
And, Rudy had a printing shop in Chicago. And he was kind of fed up with Chicago and wanted to bring the printing company to New Glarus.
Yeah.
That never worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that. And then it clicked. I said, well, maybe they will give him a good deal.
Oh, yeah.
So I connected them with Rudy. the rest is history.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, Sid was really good. He said, Hans, you have to buy some stocks in the brewery. And so I went to my neighbor, Andy, and said, hey, Andy, we should do this, okay?
Yeah.
Andy, oh, go. It's good enough for you. It's good enough for me.
Just sort of one of those like word of mouth things, like, hey, this is the thing we can do. And well, and coming from Switzerland and sort of German Austrian area, it probably made a lot of sense to you. Like, oh yeah, a town needs a local brewery.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you have a town that's going to have, you know, at least already at that point had some tourist pull, had a good amount of tourist pull. A brewery in a town that already has tourist pulls, sort of like, you know, like the worst they'll do is they'll be able to sell beer to all the tourists who come.
Yeah, right.
Because they want to drink the New Glarus beer when they come to New Glarus, right? So,
Never imagined in the wildest imagination that this would ever work out like it has.
Oh yeah, it's so funny. I don't think you could. Like, I don't think anyone could have imagined it. Yeah. Could you imagine if they came to you like, here's what we're going to do.
Yes.
We're going to start a brewery and it's going to be the number one craft brewery in the whole state. Yeah, that's a different kind of, that's a different vibe on a sales pitch.
But you have to give them so much credit.
Oh, yeah.
They started with nothing. They all then would find equipment in Germany and on in wherever.
Oh, yeah.
All used equipment, and he put it back together. None of it is new, made new.
No, none of it was new. None of the facilities were, like, built
these
for.
These tanks that come from Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He went in with a jackhammer.
Yes.
And peeled them. But you guys' story is sort of similar. I mean, you came over to America, you know, it doesn't sound like you came over here with just, like, a bag full of money. Like,
no.
Let's go make my way.
Yeah, I told you my mother wasn't too excited about it.
Yeah.
That, so she didn't give me any money. So I had no money.
Yeah.
Then my godmother, and Agnes, she was, I asked, she came, Roby wanted the money for the inventory.
Yeah.
So I had to come up with $16,000 for the inventory. So my aunt And Agnes, she gave me the money. $16,000.
So they probably had a few discussions with your aunt and your mom after that.
I paid it back after the first summer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's, you know, that's what's sort of, I think, beautiful about this town and about, you know, about this this brewery in this town is that they both seem like the time and the place they came together seemed almost perfect, right? Like you had the right place in the right temperament for the things Dan and Deb were envisioning doing. Very old school, old world.
Yes.
Traditional styles of beer, and they saw the place and like, well, this is just a beautiful town to do that in. And it seems to already be on that same page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Since deciding to invest in the brewery and getting involved, from the ground floor, how was your experience watching it grow over the years? What was that like for you?
Well, you know, Deb is a very, very hard worker.
Oh, yeah.
She is extremely hard worker.
Oh, yeah.
And, a few times we clashed with some stuff. It's not here. I wouldn't even know what it was.
Well, over 30 years, you're going to have some arguments with people.
it wouldn't be normal if we didn't.
If you didn't,
But she was very involved with the chamber as well, mm-hmm. with the community. And so you have to give her a lot of credit. And, I mean, she made Nuclearis what it is, really.
Mm-hmm.
With the brewery. You go anywhere, everywhere, and you say from Nuclearis, so they all say, spot a cow. Yes, okay. Nuclearis brewery. And I have a little incident, for example, at the Landhaus. We had two ladies checking in one day. That's quite a few years ago. And they checked in and they said, now, where is this Nuclearis? This is Nuclearis.
Yeah, we're in.
But they thought the Nuclearis Brewing Company.
Oh.
They're looking for the brewing company.
they're just like, oh, no, that's the name of a brewery. That's not. They didn't put it together yet. Yes. That's the name of the town.
Yeah.
Well, that is funny. And, you know, in a state like, you know, Wisconsin, where, you know, the tourist trade we do get here is usually from people like sort of day tripping in from the Midwest. So having something so easily identifiable, right? To be able to put your finger on and go, well, it's the beer town. And then you look into it, it's like, oh, it's actually a little Swiss village.
Yeah.
And then you look at the buildings, you're like, oh, that looks like it would be a cool place to just like, oh, it's 3 hours away. I'll drive to that. Because like in the Midwest, we're crazy.
Right.
Like 3 hours is a day trip to us, you know. very seldomly are we like, you know, that'll take too long to get to. But it seems like I said before, it's just the town and the brewery just seem to be kind of perfectly made for each other.
Right.
And, you know, when they first got here, you know, talking to people like you, you know, imagine how different the story would be if they didn't get that local support right away, you know?
Yeah.
Because you need that capital and Deb is very astute and having that sort of business plan moving forward. I think everyone was very fortunate that it all came together the way it did.
Yeah. Well, with hard work.
Yeah.
Hard work, extremely intelligent, smart decisions.
Oh yeah,
that's what made them what it is.
Oh yeah,
and work together.
Oh yeah,
Dan and Deb.
Oh yeah, kind of just very symbiotic, just hand in glove.
He is the best brewer, and Deb is the best businesswoman.
Oh yeah, I don't think this happens any other, really any other way.
No.
And I know you've been you said you were involved in the chamber for a long time. How long has like sort of the summer slate of festivals been going on in Nuclearis?
The festivals have always all actually some of the festivals like the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Used to be huge.
Really?
Years ago, that was the only festival in the area. Nothing.
Just the Labor Day festival in Nuclearis.
They had thousands. I'm not kidding you. Thousands of people.
Wow.
Out at the Telgound. And year after year, it got less and less. Mm-hmm. But more come up. Every town now has a Labor Day celebration.
Yeah.
And it's sad. I was in the play, involved with the play for...
The William Tell play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
25 years or so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And now I do the, I help Dan do the keg tapping at Oktoberfest yes. every year. And that seems like just, that seems like one of our bigger festivals now, the Oktoberfest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's the big festival, Oktoberfest.
Oh, it's so much fun though. Yeah. It really, really is. And watching Dan sort of do his keg tapping thing is always.
Like Germany, it's just tradition.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, we still, in New Glarus, have a number of restaurants that serve sort of the traditional Swiss food. Yes. When you first got here in the hotel, were a lot of the restaurants doing the rösti's and the stuff like that, or did that sort of develop over the years?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think that was not very popular.
Oh, yeah.
No. When I started then with the rösti, Bergtown, Spätzle and all that Swiss food, it became more known
mm-hmm.
Throughout the years, yeah.
And what is the secret to a good Spätzle? Because I absolutely love it, and when it's done right, it sort of has it turns that sort of darker brown. It gets that that little crunch, a little caramelized. Yeah. What is the secret there? Is that a hot pan, or are you bringing that up from like medium? Like, how are you getting the Spätzle to be kind of perfect like that? Like when you're making it.
You have to spatzle, if you fry them in a little butter.
Okay.
And you fry them slowly, so slow, medium size, medium heat, and get them a little crust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we get the spatz, the get good flavor.
Oh, it's so good. And so you sold the hotel at some point, right?
Yeah. I ran it, like I said, for 40 years. And sold it to Mike in 2015.
Okay.
And yeah. And then, of course, COVID came and he had some bad luck. And so it was closed for a few years. And
yeah.
And now we have a new owner.
So the hotel's probably might be coming back.
Who knows?
We'll
cross our fingers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, so with the New Glarus Hotel being so just so we're being clear, the New Glarus Hotel restaurant, and then there's the New Glarus Hotel downtown, are they, or off the main strip, these aren't the same things.
The Landhouse?
Yeah, the Landhouse. That's the Landhouse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then so the New Glarus Hotel is
Uptown,
yeah. Yep. And that's the one where I think has probably one of the coolest bars.
Yes.
Yeah. In the entire state of Wisconsin. Because you have that bar off to the side. And I'm trying to describe it for anyone who would be listening. You know, you go in, you have your host end, and then you have your dining hall, right? And on the back of that dining hall, there's sometimes the Opa band and polka music and things like that. Yep. But then there's this bar off to the side that's kind of down.
A sunken bar.
And when you go and sit at that bar, you can open a window right next to the Opa band.
Right.
So you can literally be sitting there having your beer and then open the window. And then the people are doing all the old polka music. It is so cool.
Yeah.
Was that sort of intentional, setting up the band in that area?
Well, that used to be a gift shop.
Okay.
When I took it over.
Yeah.
And gift shop didn't amount to too much for me. So I said, I want to put the bar in there.
Yeah.
And I want a sunken bar with the people sitting around. And then, like I said, the window and a few booths around it like this. And so it worked out great.
You did the design vision to say, I want that sunken bar in there. To me, that is one of the coolest features I've ever seen in a restaurant. I absolutely loved it. And when we would go in there to eat dinner, I'd always show up early so I could go and sit and have, an old fashioned or a spotted cow at the sunken bar. I absolutely just loved it so much.
Well, you have to know, one of the partners at the Landhaus, we had three partners and myself with the four of us. One of the partner was Stu Gallagher,
mm-hmm.
as the architect. And Stu was a good friend of mine, a great person, a great architect.
Yeah.
So he designed it all. He designed everything. He designed the Landhaus. He designed the outside of the hotel. I mean, he did everything in New Glarus.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And especially with that building right in the corner, it sits in downtown. It really sets the tone for what downtown New Glarus is, yes. You know?
Yeah.
It's got to feel kind of good coming to a place, you know, 40, 50 years ago and really being able to put your mark on it.
Yeah. And then you have to envision when you sit in the balcony, there was two gas stations on each side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what those buildings were.
Yes, there were gas stations. And then I used to assign that, assign this building according to a building I really particularly like in Switzerland. And he did that. And that's the what is it called now? The Christmas house or something.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Yeah. So do you remember when, you know, New Glarus, the brewing company, when you sort of became aware that it was starting to do better? Like when you sort of became aware that Spotted Cow had become like a thing, I guess.
Yeah, it started out with Edelpils.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. The first, the Edelpils.
Yep. And then she went away that with Edelpils. I couldn't figure it out. But she knew about a lot better.
Yeah.
And then became with the Spotted Cow.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's copies has a funny name. The whole state, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But they was the first one that came out with the Spotted Cow with the cow jumping.
Oh, yeah.
And then she changed the supplier, the distributor.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew that she was on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
She like I said, she was extremely smart and extremely, she sees the future.
Just forward thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very forward thinking.
So that was in the, I would say, early 2000.
Yeah. So I think like I got to this state in 2001 from Illinois. So right when I was 18, I remember moving downtown Madison and going into, you know, Riley's with my older friend, Riley's House of Wines to buy some beer for the new apartment. And we're like, well, what's good around here? And at that point, they were always like, okay, you're new. You have to try the spot. You have to get a six pack of Spotted Cow. So by 2001, it was like already a like, oh, you're new here. Have this, you know. But it had to be wild for you guys, especially like the sort of the early investors when you start, you know, looking around, you go, oh, Jesus, this beer seems to be everywhere now.
Yes.
Yeah. What happened between like 2 weeks ago and today?
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's... my daughter lives in Illinois and go down there quite a bit. And then on the way home, there's a big gas station right on the border.
Oh, yeah.
Big gas station.
Oh, yeah.
And they always have to sign out, New Glarus sold here. New Glarus sold here.
That's like you can't come in from like the UP or Minnesota or Illinois without one of those gas stations. Just like, if you need 50 cases of New Glarus beer, we have them for you.
It doesn't say beer. It says New Glarus sold here.
New Glarus sold here. Yeah. that is really, really, really funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Hans... thank you very much for your time and your stories and your memories. is there anything else that you a story you had or something you wished you wanted to bring up that I didn't touch on in your time in New Glarus?
No, yes, I'm sure there's lots. No, you did a good job, Scott. Made me very comfortable, and it's fun. It's fun.
Well, Hans, you are just an interesting cat, and your story is just amazing to me because it, you know, it's one of those stories that's so, you know, that so sort of closely mirrors what Dan and Deb were able to do around this spot. You know, you sort of just slingshot yourself
just on a much smaller scale
into a place, and we're able to just do your thing for a very long time and run successful businesses and make a life and have a real impact on a community. It's just it's a beautiful story and a beautiful life, my friend.
It's a lot of work, a lot of hard work.
Yes.
Know, like same as with Deb. She did it all herself, worked.
You know, there are people in this world, and I think you can be counted amongst them, who walk into a situation, look around and say, well, I guess I'm going to have to do it myself then.
Yeah, right.
You know? Thank you very much, Hans.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Have a good day.
Thank you.